The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
I was falsely accused of rape and attempted murder, and I had a decision to make. I could go to prison or I could take my life. I opted to take my life. I jumped headfirst out of a third-story loft window, and my foot clipped the awning, changed my fall. I severed my spine, broke both my arms, collapsed my lung. But God showed up.
Rob Decker shares his journey from addiction, trauma, and brokenness to healing through faith in Jesus Christ. Next.
Well, Betty and I welcome you to Life Today. It's always a joy to us to be with you. I wish we could see you. You may say, no, you don't want to see me. Oh, yeah, we would love you no matter what. And thank you for watching Life Today, because you find exactly what the title implies. You find Life Today. Well, you're going to meet someone right now. He's an amazing person, Rob Decker. I've been glancing down here how much of his life was like mine, Betty. I lived with a foster couple that weren't my parents, and then my mother drug me out from under the bed when I was five, told me I was going with her, and we hitchhiked all the way across the state. Many of you have heard that story. Well, Rob Decker, Rob, welcome to Life Today.
Thank you.
Kind of start out with this story, because you found out that you had a man living with you that was, you thought your father, and found out it wasn't. Somehow that made an impact on you, and you kind of made some not so good decisions. Tell us about it.
Yeah, well, when I was in kindergarten, I found out that my dad wasn't my biological father. I came home with a diploma from kindergarten, and it had his last name on it. And my parents sat me down to tell me that he wasn't my real dad. Mm. So then he wasn't my real dad. My sister wasn't my full-blooded sister. And then I started asking questions like, well, who's my real dad and where is he? And I truly believe that that just started sending me down a path of destruction, based on the neglect and the abandonment that I was feeling from that conversation.
So did the full impact of the negative aspect of that hit you when you were like in your teens and you began to really make bad decisions?
Well, I think a lot of things compounded on that. I got into pornography when I was very, very young. I was molested when I was 8 years old by a neighborhood kid.
By the way, I want to say, I think that's probably one of the most damaging things in the whole world. And I don't think people who have natural appetites, and then we get attracted to the fabulous beauty that's there and what God did. But I believe it hits so deeply, and I believe it twists. Would you agree? It twists your whole thought process to where you can actually be sowing suicidal seeds and destructive seeds, or absolutely losing your capacity to even think straight and
Absolutely.
Walk straight. You agree
Absolutely,
with that?
Absolutely, 100%. I think that my mental health and my development was tampered with at a very young age, with being molested and then being around violence all the time, abuse, and then, you know, following the molestation, I started getting into pornography. So that started to ruin my thought process on intimacy. And then when I was a teenager, you know, the first girl that I ever really cared about, I watched another man take advantage of her in front of me. Mm-hmm. It was the first time I'd ever drank, and he got us drunk. And I think that just really sent me down the wrong path. And so for 20 years, I was battling these issues with my family, my dad, my real dad, you know, and just all the trauma that I was constantly exposed to all the time.
When you met your real dad, what effect did that have?
Well, I met him at 16 when my dad that raised me left the house, and my mom thought it'd be a good idea to bring him in, and I ended up walking in on him as he was smoking drugs. He was smoking meth, and that was at 16 years old. And so, you know, between the relationship between my mom and dad and then what I saw with my biological father, I didn't really have any of that, you know, fatherhood guidance in my life.
Well, I want you to tell me how you get to this interesting title on a book, God's Awning, a story of rejection and redemption. And he actually works with people who are very challenged, and he actually gets them in shape. He'll actually help get the body of Christ, the temple of God, where it's a little bit more useful. But tell me about this God's Awning, and tell me about the ministry that God, and how he moved you into it, how God moved you into the ministry you're in, and what you're doing now.
Yeah, so God's Awning was named because I was falsely accused of rape and attempted murder, and I had a decision to make. I could go to prison or I could take my life. I opted to take my life. I jumped headfirst out of a third-story loft window, and my foot clipped the awning, changed my fall. I severed my spine, broke both my arms, collapsed my lung, went to the hospital. After a 10-hour surgery, I was arrested in the hospital. But God showed up. God showed up in the midst of all that. I was highly medicated, and I heard the Lord's voice loud and clear. He said, the charges will be dropped, bills will be paid, and you will walk again. And all those things happened. But I ran back to my old ways, continued to drink and use, because there was a lot of stuff I wasn't handing over to the Lord. And so my ministry really hinges off being delivered from drug and alcohol addiction, understanding what it's like to grow up without a good relationship with your father or having a great father figure around, just battling my own demons, the suicidal ideations all the time. Because jumping out of the window was one thing, but battling suicide was something that I suffered from my whole life because I didn't feel like I had purpose or a place or anything like that. And so everything that I do now in my community through Rises, Lions, and Recovery Rebel Softball is trying to create that space for people to be able to share the harder topics in life. You know, a lot of us men, we're not taught to share and express our feelings. And we want to be able to create that, let men feel safe so that they can start their own healing journey.
Why do you call your ministry, was it Rising Lions?
Rise as Lions.
Rise as Lions.
It's to resurrect like Christ. It's about resurrection and restoration. So it was really a play off of Jesus, you know, because that's who I serve and that's who I love. You know, he's done a lot for me.
What all has been going on in this ministry you've got now?
Well, I get to mentor and help a lot of people. You know, I've kind of became the individual when folks are struggling with addiction or suicidal ideations that people just send them my way. And we start to get to the root of the issue with a lot of them. They feel safe and comfortable having those conversations with me. And then with the sports, you know, we're just providing a resource in our community for people to gather with the same idea in mind that we're here to support each other, lift each other up. And, you know, recovery looks different for everybody. You know, it's not just drug and alcohol abuse. Drug and alcohol abuse tends to be the self-medicator, right? It's usually the brokenness, the neglect, the abandonment, the trauma, whatever it is that a lot of us haven't addressed. So we just create that space so those conversations can be had.
Well, you help a lot of people now.
I do.
What point in your life did someone send, did God send someone into your life to help you change?
Oh, the Holy Spirit. you know, I will say this. I was very blessed to have people in my journey that cared enough about me to bring me in their home, to love on me, to take care of me, especially after I broke my back. But it was a journey. It was a journey for me. I had to walk it out with the Lord myself. I had to make a lot of mistakes. I think for me, I became a survivalist, right? I didn't know how to thrive. So a lot of times when life got hard, I reverted to old behaviors where I wasn't trusting in God. I was trusting in what I knew. And, you know, God just walked it all out with me. You know, but I had a great group of individuals that were praying over me a lot because I needed it.
It is a journey.
Yes.
It definitely is. We're all still on.
Yeah. Well, I've been sober for about 12 years now, and God delivered me from drug and alcohol abuse just like that. Through repentance and surrender, He took it away from me. And I believe everyone can have that. So, you know, part of my mission is to meet people where they're at and to let them know that there's freedom in Christ and there's freedom from drug and alcohol abuse.
You're based in Colorado Springs.
I am.
If someone wanted to know how to get a hold of you, see what you're doing, maybe wanted to somehow be a part of that process you're taking them through, where would they go? Where would they look?
RisesLions.org.
I hope you'll look at that. Check that out. Is it something that people are able to do? Of course, if they come to where you are in person, do you do things during the week on certain days that you're having a group in?
Well, we have four softball teams now, so there's a lot of softball being played. But, you know, I always give people access to me. So if someone hears my message today and says, you know, that's the guy I need to talk to because I resonate in his story, like, I always leave myself open to have those conversations. And so a lot of times what I do personally is one-on-one counseling or mentorship or conversing with whoever may be struggling. And that's just kind of become part of the ministry at this point.
Pretty bad accident that could have been worse than it was, a car accident. Tell us about it.
Oh, the car accident. Yeah, I got behind the wheel of the car. So after my suicide attempt, you know, I was still running back to drugs and alcohol, and I got a hernia. So God had given me my life back. I was working out all the time. I had a great job. I met a beautiful young woman who's now my wife, Alyssa. And, you know, I was kind of having a temper tantrum and pouting and playing the victim, and I decided to go get drunk. And I got behind the wheel of the car and ran into somebody's property, and I ended up having to flee the scene of the crime. But the beauty of that incident was, with all the physical damage that could have taken place, I didn't hurt anybody, I didn't hurt myself, but I ended up under a porch at someone's house. And that's when I gave drug and alcohol abuse to the Lord, and I apologized to him because I realized that he really loved me, that he was being patient with me, and that I was holding on to trying to fix the problem my own way through drugs and alcohol. And in that moment, through repentance and surrender, he delivered me from drug and alcohol abuse.
You know, you indicated to my staff and just briefly to me that you crossed paths with me and Betty's on.
Yes, yes.
And it had some kind of an effect. I'm curious about it.
When I found out that I was going to sit across from you two, I almost broke down crying, but I'm too macho for that, right? So, yeah. So when I first gave my life to the Lord, I was watching your show all the time, and I looked at you two like an amazing Christian couple and marriage and ministry and the way you serve and give back and you love, and I'm like, it's possible. And so you carried me through the very first few years of my Christian walk, and I am so grateful for that. So don't make me cry on TV.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Rob. Listen, I'm saying thank you, Rob, for just giving the testimony, but hey, thank those of you who not only watch Life Today, but share literally, not the title of a program, you share Life Today through the program Life Today, because we can't pay to feed the 350,000 children that we're trying to feed right now, and we found them and they're starving. And you are the miracle their mothers and their families are hoping and praying for. You're the only miracle hope that they have. They're starving, and you can be the miracle provider. You can give them the future, and that's what we ask you to do. And here he is telling how Life Today, which these viewers, as surely as they give food and give water, you were given the water of life and food, which we try to share with you every day, and you were giving it and to people like Rob. And it does make an impact. And I can tell, hey, he liked us. And you saw what we were doing to help people.
Yeah.
Did that inspire you any way to see the importance of helping people?
You taught me how to serve, you know, and I think that's been the greatest gift in everything that I do now, is to give back to others, because people are in need. And so I thank you for that again.
If somebody got your book and got into God's awning, what do you think? What do you think they would see and take from it? What's your prayer that they take from this book? What?
There's hope for healing, and it will always be through Christ. And sometimes what we have to hear as humans is that other humans went through it and made it out on the other side. And so I want people to find hope, help, and healing in that book and draw closer to Christ because of it.
And you can go online and get it. And Rob is praying that it'll be a tremendous blessing to you and probably to somebody they know.
Yeah.
Invariably, we find people who are in a predicament that we haven't been in, but we see somebody that was, and we pass something on to them. So I really hope and pray they'll do that. What's your prayer for being on the show today? What do you want to come out of being with two people? You say that we ministered to you and helped you through this process. What's your hope for being today with us? What do you want to see happen?
I just want seeds of hope to be planted in somebody today that is going through a very tough time mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. I want them to feel full and renewed. And I want them to then take that and give it to other people. That would be my prayer. That's how we can serve each other, is to pour what's been poured into us into other people.
How do you want people to see God in some way like you did as an awning? You say the awning broke your fall to where you weren't killed. You were certainly hurt badly. How do you see people finding an awning in their life?
You'll see that. So awning means protection. Right? So what I realized in my process and coming out of all of it, and it's all hindsight 2020 for me, is that he was always there, even in the hard times. And what I appreciate about the trials and tribulations that James speaks about is finding joy in the trials and tribulations, because that's what built us up. That's what gives, you know, Romans 5:3, it's just like, that's what builds character in us. And so, you know, I know a lot of times we're in a lot of pain, but a lot of times we can use that, build from that, right? So that we have the ability to heal and give back to others. Without those trials and tribulations, it's, we can't build strength. You know, we're fitness guys, right? How do we get stronger? We go in the gym and lift weights. It doesn't always feel good. We add weight to get stronger. And God does that with us spiritually as well. You know, so some of the stuff that's being poured onto us, it's because he has a special plan for us and he wants to use us in a very powerful way.
You were a beautiful little church girl that just did everything right and came out of the choir to get saved. And nobody in the church could believe it. But when you see people like, you know, Rob, like me, what do you think about, Betty?
I was sitting here thinking as I listened to your story, and I know our stories, of course, the journey that God carries us on. Mm-hmm. It's not always a smooth journey. Mm-hmm. Actually, it probably won't be. But we have our ups and downs. But I just want you to know, as you're watching today, you listen to Rob's story. He had setbacks, but God always picked him up. God's always there. You say, where is God? He's right here in your heart. If you haven't received him, all you have to do is say, Jesus, come into my heart and save me. If you are a Christian but you feel far away, he's right there at your back. He's ready to cover you. He's ready to walk ahead of you and be your protection as the awning was Rob. Yes. So please don't give up on yourselves. God hasn't. Turn to him right now.
Well, that's an invitation from God, not from Betty. You know, we've been married 62 years. We dated 4 years, so we've been together 66 years. But I'm just telling you this, Betty, all over the world, we've watched people come to Jesus and see their life changed. And every day on this program, hundreds of lives, even thousands are saved. We've had the joy of bringing millions and millions of people to Christ. We found out the other day from one mission outreach, 100 million people had come to Christ. We had sponsored all of it and had signed up and taken a full Bible study. That's miraculous. Well, that's what Life Today does, and that's what you provide. Our viewers, just like the supporters of what you're doing with God's awning and all you're doing with your outreaches, supported by people's prayers and by their finances. And I hope you will check Rob out. I want you to watch the son of our mission partner, Peter Pretorius. We lost him a few years ago, but we led literally tens of millions of people to Christ all over Africa. Listen to him. Our son is actually with him on this trip. But just listen to him talking. I know Brandair's son was just kind of listening in the distance. But listen to him talking about what they're seeing at the hospital area clinic and then what they're seeing out in the bush. Listen to the need and know you're the miracle that is needed. You really are. Watch prayerfully.
Villages in South Sudan are experiencing severe food insecurity. News reports tell us over half the population are facing crisis-level hunger. Desperate mothers are doing whatever they can to survive. They forage for anything to feed their families in an effort to stave off the pain of hunger. The result? Their children are not receiving the proper nutrients for their developing bodies. And there has been an explosion in the number of children suffering from severe malnutrition. If not treated in time, many will end up in an early grave.
These mothers with their children have come great distances. Some of them have walked one, even 2 days to get here. The reason they've come here is because we have a malnutrition clinic here. We're doing malnutrition screening. We're able to provide these children with what they so desperately need, which is food. Food that will save and sustain life. And you're just getting a small picture of some of the mothers that are here that have come from all over this area. But this clinic is a much larger clinic than what you're seeing that is filled to capacity with children. The screening areas just have mothers and children literally sitting outside, inside the buildings. There are so many who are here, which is the true devastation of this story, because the crisis that is all those mothers being here is the crisis of malnutrition, of the fact that these mothers have come in desperate hope, hope that we will be able to answer what they need. I need you to please be an answer to prayer today. I need you to open your heart. I need you to express God's heart and to extend His hands to the children like this, to the malnutrition clinics that so desperately need our assistance, but to the mothers out in the villages that, if they get those resources, can keep their children from ending up here and battling that battle of life and death.
You know, when I look at those little children, I can feel myself holding them. You know, the missionaries warned us that we shouldn't hold the children. Many of them have very contagious diseases, but we never could help it, Betty. Mm-hmm. Don't you find it easy to love those children and want to be the miracle prayer that mother's praying? Don't you want that for them?
Absolutely. And you know, James, the thing that blesses me so much is when I see the lines, the children lining up to get a bowl of porridge or whatever the nutrition that they need that we've sent over there. Maybe you've helped us. You probably have. Please don't stop. These children need the care. The mothers have done all they can do. They have nothing to offer them, but hopefully we do. And I hope you'll join with us. And let's feed these precious little ones that God has given these mothers to care for.
You know, as I was watching the video and I saw the desperate situation in those children, many of them had reached a clinic that we helped establish, which is a last-ditch effort, you might say, to save them. And they'd walk for days sometimes to get there. But we like to meet them in the field and right there where they are and take the food right to them, which is what we do, which is what we do when we drill a water well. We drill it right in the midst of the pain and the suffering. But I was looking at that and thinking, how many of them we watched come to get the food and we put it in whatever they brought. Sometimes they'd bring a plastic bag and it would burn through it. Sometimes little children hold their hands out and they couldn't hold it, it was hot. And then we watched many of them with an old dirty tin can, something like that. This would have been a nice one. But what I was watching there in the video, when I saw those little bowls, I remember where these came from. Someone like you watching.
That's right.
Said, why are you giving those children that porridge in that dirty container? Or why pour in that plastic bag and it burns through? Why don't we give them a nice plastic bowl? And the missionary said, we can't afford that. We can only afford the food. We can't afford a plastic bowl. And you know what our viewers said? You know what you said? Well, we can. We want to give them bowls. We've given out millions of these, Betty. And there was, did you see that long line? Did you see how far it reached? And every one of those children, they'll stand there for 2 hours or more. Thousands, sometimes we'll start feeding 2,000 or 3,000 in an area, and 2,000 show up 3 or 4 days later. Because they'll walk 50 miles to 100 miles, they found out there was food, and it was in a plastic bowl that love provided. Betty, that's what our viewers are.
That's right.
They're expressions of love. Would you right now go and get your bank card and use it like a check? Please, if you write a check, make it to Life, but do it now, and call us and tell us you're mailing it. Go online and make the best gift you possibly can, 30, 50, or 100. You feed 3, 5, or 10 children for the next month. Could you give 1,000 or more and feed 100? Father, please, please move those viewing with your love, your compassion, your help. In Jesus' name, we are His hands and His arms. would you reach out, put his arms around someone right now, and give them life? Please do it.
Right now, across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition and even death. With food reserves gone and many areas experiencing severe famine, we urgently need to replenish supplies to keep feeding the 350,000 children who are counting on us. Through Life's Mission Feeding Outreach, your gift of love can be an answer to prayer for a hurting and hungry child in their time of need. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you Natural Remedies. This beautifully illustrated book explores ancient nutrition and the health benefits found in God's creation to help you live your best life. With your gift of $100 or more, please request your health and wellness bundle. This three-book set includes natural remedies as well as essential fasting, a simple eating strategy to accelerate weight loss, crush cravings, and reverse aging, and the probiotic diet that gives effective strategies to improve digestion, boost brain health, and supercharge your immune system. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more, which will help feed 100 children. And you may request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Lion of Judah. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Hi, I'm Jordan Rubin, and for over two decades, my wife Nikki and I have been supporting the Ministries of Life. With any gift to Mission Feeding, you will transform the lives of 350,000 children in Africa by giving them nutritious food and a hope for the future. With your gift, you'll receive a powerful wellness bundle, which can bring the power of health and nutrition into your own home. Transform the lives of thousands and your own family. Do it today.
Thank you for being the miracle some mother prayed so fervently for, faithfully. You know the books that we're offering to bless you and those you love from Jordan Rubin. Rob, I pray for you and your ministry.
Thank you.
Thank you for being with us on Life Today.
Thank you for having me.
Keep sharing it, okay?
Thank you for inspiring
me. Love you. Thank you for helping us love so many with His love. God bless you.
Stay connected with Life Today through your favorite social media. Get access to exclusive content and news with the Life Today social media experience.
We talk about how to boost your immune system if you're dealing with a cold or a flu, but what about if you're dealing with cancer or rheumatoid arthritis?
Tomorrow.
And tips.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.